7.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. More than a month after the attempted assassination of former President Trump, there is still a lot the FBI says it doesn't know about gunman Thomas Crooks.
We have a clear idea of mindset, but we are not ready to make any conclusive statements regarding motive at this time.
And Kevin Rojek, the special agent in charge for the Bureau's Pittsburgh field office, says agents know this much. Crooks was obsessed with violence. Severe turbulence diverted a flight from Cancun to Chicago to Memphis. One person on board was hospitalized. The Supreme Court is keeping the SAVE program. President Biden's latest student loan relief program on hold as lawsuits make their way through the lower courts. California lawmakers passed a bill that would make undocumented immigrants eligible for state assistance in buying a home. Smoke from the wildfires in Brazil's Amazon rainforest are draping over much of the country. This is ABC News. Authorities in Los Angeles say they've taken down a business catering to crime tourism.
When so-called crime tourists arrive in the U.S. to commit burglaries, they need a car and directions on where to go. State and federal prosecutors say the owner and workers at a car rental company that catered specifically to providing cars to crime tourists did just that. Ventura County DA Eric Nazarenko says that car rental company has been,
in essence, the Hertz rental car business for thieves.
He says a company would rent high-end cars that fit into the neighborhoods the groups are burglarizing. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
CrowdStrike estimates that last month's software upgrade led to a Microsoft meltdown, caused a $60 million drop in sales. In its quarterly report, the cybersecurity company predicts it can still close on those $60 million contracts by next January. Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think he's right. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Joe Biden is coming back to the Badger State. He'll be here next Thursday, although details haven't been announced yet. He'll focus on the economy and his administration's record working for middle-class Americans. This will be his first visit to Wisconsin since stepping down from the race and endorsing his vice president, Kamala Harris. And it's a long-term problem for Wisconsin public schools. Enrollment is dropping. It's been happening for years now. Education leaders are quick to point out that when enrollment drops, costs per student actually go up. Luther Olson is the statewide network liaison for the CESA Education Agency.
We fund on a per capita basis, but in reality, that cost goes up. So everybody says, well, you know, you have less kids, you don't need as much money. But unfortunately, that's not quite the case.
Work on the next state budget begins in the spring. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers lose in a battle of home runs. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports. Milwaukee hit two home runs, but the San Francisco Giants hit three of their own to win 5-4 on Tuesday night, including the go-ahead shot by Mike Yastrzemski. Manager Pat Murphy says the game should be a good learning experience for the team.
It's a great learning experience for a lot of the guys, and it's tough when things don't go your way. But I love the way they competed, and if they keep competing like that, it gives us a chance in these types of games against these type pitchers.
Milwaukee was leading the NL Central by 12 games a week ago, but after losing four of the last six, the Brewers' lead is down to nine in front of the Chicago Cubs. The second of three games in the series against the Giants is tonight in Milwaukee. The Packers trimmed their roster down to 53 players on Tuesday. Green Bay placed running back A.J. Dillon on injured reserve in one of the moves. The Packers also kept kicker Greg Joseph over Anders Carlson, a sixth-round draft pick last year. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. In the overnight, scattered clouds and light winds, temperatures dropping to the lower 60s at daybreak. On Thursday, we'll see a chance of showers and thunderstorms, especially in the afternoon. High temperatures warming to the mid-80s. Some of those storms bringing some heavy rain. It's 72 at our studios.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'll talk about Jack Smith's new superseding indictment against Donald Trump, and Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area joins us. He's now with Civic.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, it's the middle of the week and there's a lot going on. Some Republicans are implying that Kamala Harris is only three-fifths of a human being and therefore unfit for the presidency. This is the bizarre story of the week. I'd call it a crazy alert, except that they're dead serious about this. We'll get to that in a moment. Also, in the first hour of the program, Trump's photo op at Arlington Cemetery turns violent. And CNN lands the first interview. Will the questions be about policy or not? Dana Bash is going to do this. We'll get to that in a moment. Also, crazy alert. Was Donald Trump's ear really injured? Serious question. In the second hour of our program, does Jack Smith believe the Supreme Court immunity decision does not pose a major impediment to convicting Trump? Apparently, the superseding indictment looks pretty solid here. Also, is this the new normal, Republicans wanting women to Republicans want for women seeking to control their own bodies? An amazing video from the Lincoln Project I will share with you in the second hour of the program. In the third hour of the program, would the Trump budget spike deficits five times more than Harris's proposal? And whoa, is there a 50% surge in Democratic-based voter registrations? We got some amazing, amazing statistics to share with you in the third hour that seem to be, optimism producing. So a lot to talk about. I want to start out with my op-ed today for Hartman Report, though. This is actually a story of an event that more or less happened last week. It hit the New York Times and all the other media last week, but, it's... It's still going on. I mean, I thought it was just going to like that, but right-wing radio is and right-wing publications are still all over this. Here's what's going on. The Constitution says no person except a natural-born citizen shall be eligible, comma, or a citizen of the United States at the time of adoption of this Constitution, comma, shall be eligible to the office of president. Now, the reason why that second part of the sentence was in there, in other words, only a natural-born citizen can be president, but if you are actually a citizen at the time of the adoption of the Constitution, then you can become president. The reason that they put that in there was because George Washington's parents were British citizens. And they wanted to make him president. John Adams' parents were British citizens, and they wanted to make him president. Thomas Jefferson's, these were our first three presidents. The same is true of Madison and Monroe, the first five presidents. All of them, their parents were British citizens. And so they were not natural-born citizens by the definition of that time, according to this Republican group, which is, doing this literal read of the Constitution. And their argument actually seems relatively cogent. This is the National Federation of Republican Assemblies, NFRA. And the argument that they're making is that your parents must be citizens when you are born for you to be a, quote, natural-born citizen. And the only exception was for those first five presidents, and that exception is actually in the Constitution. Now, you know, they tried this with Obama, although Trump, his birther thing, saying that Obama wasn't even a citizen, much less natural-born, kind of, you know, trumped, pardon the pun, that whole argument, kind of, you know, it just kind of got lost back in 2008. But this Republican group is reprising this argument, and they're taking it a step farther. Because at the time that Kamala Harris was born, apparently both her mother and her father were not yet naturalized U.S. citizens. They were here on green cards. And so they're saying she's not a natural-born citizen, according to the Constitution. So that's their first argument. Then their second argument is that even if she were, it doesn't matter because her father was black. And black people can never be citizens because of the Dred Scott decision, which was never repealed by the Supreme Court. Now, Dred Scott was an African-American who lived, I believe he started in Missouri. I'd have to go back and look, but he was enslaved. And his owner was a guy who was in the U.S. Army. His owner took him to Minnesota, which was a free state, where Dred Scott became free. He continued to work for his owner. They apparently had a very good relationship. In fact, you know, there's some speculate that his owner, the guy who owned him, I don't have his name, actually helped finance the five lawsuits that Dred Scott, Mr. Scott, used. He had three state lawsuits and two federal lawsuits that took it all the way to the Supreme Court, right, to say that, hey, I was freed in Minnesota. But when they went back to Missouri, the Army sent them back to Missouri, and Missouri said, oh, no, you're a slave again. And that produced Dred Scott's lawsuit. And in that decision, Chief Justice Roger Taney wrote, and it was a 7-2 decision, wrote that basically no black person can ever be a citizen of the United States. And so this Republican group, NFRA, the National Republican Federation, or the National, what is it? National Federation of Republican Assemblies. This group says that because of Dred Scott, Kamala Harris also is not a citizen of the United States, or at least a natural-born citizen, because her father could not have been a citizen because he was black. And they're literally quoting Dred Scott. They go on to say this was, you know, what they on their platform page, on their website. An originalist and strict constructionist understanding of the Constitution in the Scalia and Thomas tradition, as well as precedent-setting U.S. Supreme Court cases below, and one of the ones that they cite is Dred Scott, have found that a natural-born citizen is defined as a person born on American soil of parents who are both citizens of the United States at the time of the child's birth. And then they quote Dred Scott. The Dred Scott decision, and this is what Chief Justice Roger Taney wrote. He wrote, the question is simply this. Can a Negro whose ancestors were imported into this country and sold as slaves become a member of the political community formed and brought into existence by the Constitution of the United States, and as such become entitled to the rights and privileges and immunities guaranteed by that instrument to that citizen, or to the citizen? The alien is excluded because being born in a foreign country, he cannot be a member of the community until he is naturalized. But why are the African race born in the state not permitted to share in one of the highest duties of the citizen? The answer is obvious. He is not, by the institutions and laws of the state, numbered among its people. He forms no part of the sovereignty of the state and is not, therefore, called upon to uphold and defend it. End of quote. So this is the Dred Scott decision, 1857, saying that black people are not citizens of the United States, never can be. Now, you could argue that that decision was repealed by the 13th Amendment and the 14th Amendment, Section 2 of the 14th Amendment, which blows up the three-fifths provision. But the National Federation of Republican Assemblies is saying, oh, no, no, Dred Scott is still on the books, guys. And, I mean, and they got some serious people, you know, at least in the Republican Party, talking about this. Laura Loomer, you know, former Republican primary candidate for U.S. Congress, formerly associated with the Trump campaign, She laid out an extensive rant over on Twitter about Kamala's mother's immigration status. And then, you know, quoting, and then the New York Times had an article titled, Trump elevates false fringe attacks on Harris to center of his campaign. Their comments seemingly aimed at suggesting to black voters that the Democratic candidate does not represent them. And more broadly, planting the idea that Ms. Harris is inauthentic helped turn what had been a trickle of such content into a gusher. Overnight, conservative corners of the internet, long fixated on Mr. Biden's age, swung to what looked to be their next target. Years-old video clips of Ms. Harris acknowledging her South Asian heritage found fresh currency, along with memes mocking her speaking style and even a Billy Joel song modified to say she's not black or white, Indian or Jamaican. So here we have Senator Rand Paul is, you know, an endorser of this. Rafael Cruz is the president of this group. This is Ted Cruz's dad. I mean, these people are not without some juice, right? You know, people are saying, oh, this is just a fringe group. Well, you know, they used to think that Tim McVeigh was a member of a fringe group. Tim McVeigh was, you know, traveled around the country for a year or two talking about the great replacement theory. And everybody said, ah, he's just crazy, until he blew up the building, you know, the federal building in Oklahoma City. And then guess what happened? His great replacement theory became Republican doctrine. I mean, it's at the core of the Trump and Vance call for more white babies. Because, you know, those Jews are paying to cause black people to reproduce in large numbers, and they're importing brown people from other countries. I mean, you can laugh at it if you want. And it is, you know, this is a fringe group. It's not part of the official Republican Party, but they call themselves Republicans. And there's a bunch of Republican officials, you know, former Republican officials in there, including, you know, former people who've held fairly high office in the United States. And, you know, you got Mike Huckabee, Kellyanne Conway, Rafael Cruz, Rand Paul, Michelle Bachmann, Pat Buchanan, Steve Forbes, Alan Keyes, Ken Blackwell, you know, serious people who are endorsing this group or are members of this group, or in the case of Rafael Cruz even, you know, run this group, saying these things. And this is why I think it's so important that we just repudiate, just openly, explicitly repudiate this embrace of racism that has animated the Republican Party ever since the Richard Nixon rolled out his white silent majority riff and his war on drugs to go against black people and hippies back in the day. What say you? I got to tell you about what happened in Arlington National Cemetery this week. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
It's an amazing story, isn't it? Stick around. I'll be right back with you.
How would you like to get a free smartphone? If you own a smartphone, listen to this incredible offer that's almost too good to be true. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Plus, get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline now and we'll move your number from your existing service. Think of your savings. So don't wait. Switch your plan, save money, plus get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. We guarantee you're going to love our service. If you don't like what we say, you can hang up on us. But you won't. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. 800-942-1325. 800-942-1325. 800-942-1325. That's 800-942-1325.
The American middle class is on its deathbed. Ordinary folks who put in a solid day's work can no longer afford to buy a house, send their kids to college, or even get sick. If you're not a CEO, you're probably screwed. In his latest book, Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class and What We Can Do About It by Tom Hartman, Air America host Tom Hartman shows how the middle class, a product of democracy that was so carefully put together by our country's founding fathers, has been systematically dismantled over the past quarter century and, under the guise of freeing the market, replaced by an anti-democratic system designed to line the pockets of the super rich and corporations. Hartman shows that it's not too late to return to the America our founders envisioned. Democracy requires a fair playing field. It will survive only if we the people stand up, speak out, and reclaim our democracy. To find out more about Tom's book tour, or to get an audio sneak peek of Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class and What We Can Do About It, visit TomHartman.com. Get Screwed by Tom Hartman. Available in all fine bookstores now.
Hey, Tom Hartman here. In my new book, Threshold, The Crisis of Western Culture, I'm looking at the deteriorating state of our planet, where the dynamics of environmental, economic, and population change are boiling over the limits within which society can function. I'll be busting the myths and ideologies of religious fundamentalism, capitalism run amok, male domination and hierarchy, and militarism that are draining our world of its natural and human resources and engendering the suffering of millions for the benefit of a few. Threshold examines cultures that have thrived from the mother city of Corral, Peru to modern Denmark, and targets five areas of policy, national, religious, economic, corporate, and environmental, for specific and immediate reform. Radical in scope and boldness, but simple in its common sense logic, my book Threshold illustrates the mistakes we have made as a culture, as a country, and as individuals, and provides the inspiration and motivation that you're looking for to build a better, more sustainable world for all. It's available in fine bookstores everywhere. Threshold.
Hi, I'm EJ Williams for American Humane. For thousands of years, dogs have been our best friends in our worst times. Today, we're also learning that our best friends, millions of whom are abandoned each year, are often the best medicine when people are facing obstacles. To help both people and animals, organizations like American Humane have been working to harness the healing power of the human-animal bond, finding animals in need of forever homes and training them as life-saving service and therapy dogs to help our veterans, the elderly, and children overcome the daily obstacles of life. In this way, the rescued can become the rescuers. To find out how you can help give animals and the people they help a new leash on life, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com.
Healthy cholesterol levels are important to your heart health, metabolism, and your blood sugar levels. You ever exercise and watch what you eat, but then get frustrated when you don't see results? Well, your secret weapon for heart health is Superbearing Advanced Cholesterol Support. Superbearing is a plant-based supplement from nature. Both Louise and I take it because it works. Superbearing is super convenient, with just one easy-to-swallow capsule a day. It helps you do more to support healthy cholesterol levels, metabolic health, and your blood sugar levels. Superbearing's unique berberine is the only berberine shown to support healthy cholesterol levels nearly three times more effectively than diet and exercise alone. Plus, clinically studied berberine has been shown to have nearly 10 times higher absorption than standard berberine. Give your cholesterol health advanced support with a free one-month supply of Superbearing and get 15% off. Just go to superbearing.com, superbearing, that's S-U-P-E-R-B-E-R-I-N-E.com, and use the promo code TOM, T-H-O-M, to get a free month's supply and 15% off. That's superbearing.com, and the code is TOM, T-H-O-M.
In the halls of power, shadows creep with echoes of a past too deep. Recycling scar, a darkened page to claim she's less a brutal gauge. They dredge up hate from yesteryears to stoke the flames and fuel our fears. But we won't be swayed by their cruel scheme. We're rising up, we'll chase the dream. Fools of a nightmare, their voices fall.
And after dredging up hate from yesteryear, it's incredible.
From every race and every creed, we rise as one. Together.
So here's a question I was going to ask on my that I am asking today. I posted this yesterday, last night on Substack as a note, saying it's a question I'm going to ask my radio program tomorrow. And I got a lot of 192 responses and 846 likes, I guess. Here's a question. There's been a lot of weirdness around the assassination attempt against Donald Trump, and it's even spawning weird conspiracy theories. And I'm really reluctant to even go into this because I'm not a fan of weird conspiracy theories. But I have a few questions. Why have we never seen a hospital report? Why was he not even taken to the hospital? Why does his ear now look like it was never touched, whereas Mike Tyson, who had, you know, somebody bit his ear, still has a big hole in his ear? You know, we saw that blood streaked across Trump's face, and there was a blob of it on his ear. But wait a minute. If his ear had been hit, how would the blood get streaked? I mean, it doesn't look like he smeared it with his fingers, and there wasn't any on his hands. Could it be that the blood that was on Trump's face was splatter from the fireman or another person who got shot near him, and Trump was never actually injured? That he was never injured at all? And that's why he so easily stood up and raised his fist. He knew the power of a photo with blood on his face, no matter whose blood it was. What if that bandage on his ear that he wore for just about a week, and then there was nothing, right? What if that was just a prop to get publicity and sympathy? Wouldn't that answer a lot? Or is it too weird to even be asking the question? It's just, you know, It's a very strange question to ask, you know. But is it possible that the blood that was on Trump's face was actually blood splattered from that fireman who was next to him who got shot around the same time? Or as he was going down, the person behind him who got shot? I mean, you know, you watch shows like CSI and you get all this, oh, yeah, blood splatter here, blood splatter there. That's how you could. Now, I don't know. I mean, you know, I've been dismissing basically callers up to this point who have said, you know, I think this thing was staged. I'm not saying it was staged. I think the whole thing was real. I just don't. I'm starting to think that Donald Trump actually never, you know, it wasn't his blood on his face. It wasn't his blood on his ear. That somebody near him got shot and there was an eruption of blood and it hit his ear and it smeared across his face. Is that possible? Why have we never seen an actual physician's report? The only thing we've seen is Ronnie Jackson, who was, you know, Dr. Feelgood in the White House, who's now a member of Congress, saying, oh, yes, you know, he was definitely shot and everything's fine now. Really? Is this weird? Anyway.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Yeah, Sean says, and Trump is such a wimp, he would have folded like a cheap suit if he'd actually been shot. I got to tell you what happened in Arlington National Cemetery, and I'll pick up your calls right after this. You get stressed because your monthly income just doesn't seem to cover the bills anymore? Well, you're not alone. Most Americans feel this way every day. Everything is still ridiculously expensive, and we're all reaching more and more for credit cards to cover the basics like childcare, insurance, power, and food. It's tough. If you're feeling this way, you need to call American Financing. They're helping hardworking Americans just like you tap into their home's equity to pay off their high-interest debt and even create some additional savings to be ready for whatever life throws your way. Interest rates have dropped, and a company like American Financing that never charges any upfront or hidden fees is the perfect partner to help you get into a better financial position. Their salary-based mortgage consultants are saving homeowners over $800 a month on average, and waiting is not an option. Call today. You may delay two mortgage payments. 888-675-4090. That's 888-675-4090. AmericanFinancing.net/progress. NMLS 182334, NMLS consumeraccess.org.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? done well. Deck upgrades, done well. Electrical upgrade, done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality certified pros at Angie.com.
Every weekday, I write a new original article about one of the critical issues of our day and publish it on our website, HartmanReport.com. I write these entirely by myself, so you're getting my unvarnished thoughts on national and world events. There's no advertising, and you can get them every single weekday in your email at no charge whatsoever. Or just read them for free with no ads by going to HartmanReport.com. I cover topics from climate to Congress to politics to the law, as well as social and health issues. You can find it all at HartmanReport.com.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. A recent survey found that in the last year, 25% of Americans used Buy Now, Pay Later services like Afterpay or Klarna or Zip. We spend more with Buy Now, Pay Later because, you know, six easy payments of $30 feels more affordable than $180 all at once for that cowboy hat or those leggings or that Yeti cooler. But when paying the full price for something feels uncomfortable, that is a clear sign for me that the purchase probably doesn't align with my financial goals. If Buy Now, Pay Later is helping somebody replace a necessary thing, like an appliance or something like that, that's a sign that their emergency fund plan needs some attention so they don't have to finance those situations. Buy Now, Pay Later encourages us to develop money behaviors that aren't that helpful for our long-term financial security. For more money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Take good care.
It all starts with a question more than 75 years ago. Can hauling a fishing pole to the water hole be made easier? Bob and Bill Johnson find an answer, and the very first multi-section bamboo fishing pole is created. It's 1948. The brothers' invention also leads to the launch of St. Croix Rod Company in Park Falls, and it becomes the talk of the state. So do you know which fish is considered the prize catch in Wisconsin? Is it northern pike, bluegill, or walleye? The answer coming up. The St. Croix Rod Company continues to call Park Falls home, but now operates what is considered the most advanced facility in the country. The company offers more than 800 award-winning rods and reels, still being created as the answer to every angler's fishing question. So which fish is the prized catch? Walleye.
Yeah.
It's challenging to catch, delicious to eat. And this is not the one that got away, but is one true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
Everyone on the road is trying to make it to their destination safely. You can help by staying aware of the large trucks and buses around you. They take longer to stop, have large blind spots, and make wide turns that require caution from other drivers. It takes all of us working together to share the road safely. Learn more at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov. Paid for by FMCSA.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Pickleball. Yeah. Where's Greg Baca on this? Because I'm about to offend all these many, many people in Wisconsin who play it. It's overgrown ping pong. I mean, come on.
It's underbaked tennis.
Well, I've already done it because on the text line, Matt from Germantown, don't make fun of pickleball.
We're not making fun of pickleball. We're simply making fun of the people who play pickleball. There is a difference.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hi, friends. Tom Hartman here to remind you that it's your support of our show that keeps us on the air. Without you, there wouldn't be a Tom Hartman program. And now more than ever, it's crucial for you to show your progressive support. And one of the best ways to show your support is to sign up for Tomcast. That's our podcast. It's at TomHartman.com. Never miss another heated debate on healthcare, global climate change, or our economy. Never miss another one again. Plus, labor news, full Monty alerts, conservative alerts, and my personal favorite segment, Geeky Science, each and every week. But wait, there's more! As an added bonus with your Tomcast podcast subscription, you'll also get my best of the rest of the news, a daily 3-minute dose of what's going on in the world today that you can't afford to miss. So what are you waiting for? Get over to TomHartman.com today and sign up for your Tomcast now. Do it for yourself, or you can do it for a friend. Go to TomHartman.com to see just how easy it is. And thank you so much for all of your support.
Did you know that every weekday we send out an email before the show giving you all the topics coming up so you could be fully informed and ready to interact with our program? Or that after the show we send out Sue's Stack, a list of every topic I've discussed along with clickable hot links to every source of information I've shared with you on the air? It's all completely free and available over at tom.tv, T-H-O-M.tv. Check it out.
Turn the dial, hear the chatter, voices rise, opinions scatter across the airwaves.
Welcome back. So this is a wild story, and I'm going to pick up your calls in just a second here, but Donald Trump went to Arlington National Cemetery, was it yesterday or the day before? It was on Monday, yeah, day before yesterday, and broke the law. And broke the cemetery's rules as well. First off, you're not allowed to do any kind of campaign, any kind of campaign stunts in Arlington National Cemetery. It's never been done. No presidential candidate has ever done this because, you know, first of all, it's disrespectful to our dead soldiers. And secondly, it's against the law. And third, it's against the policies of Arlington National Cemetery. But Trump shows up with a film crew from Fox News and a private film crew with a handful of families of dead soldiers, Republican families, Trump fanboy families, and goes into this area of the most sacred, essentially, area of the cemetery. The most recent part is called Section 60, where you're not even allowed to take a picture because it's disrespectful. And you might, offend or intimidate or distract somebody who's there mourning a soldier who recently died. This is the place for recent deaths. And this was all about, you know, the 13 American service members who died when President Biden pulled us out of Afghanistan, and there was just a, you know, this really messy suicide bomber. And he killed a bunch of people. And it turns out, by the way, that Mr. McMaster, the former Trump official, in his new book, is saying that the reason why the withdrawal from Afghanistan was so messy was because Trump set it up. He set up a disaster. He cut deals with the Taliban. He released 5,000 Taliban bad guys. The guy who's running the Taliban right now, Trump had released from prison. And Trump shut down 9 of the 10 U.S. Air Force bases in Afghanistan in the months before he left office, which meant that when Joe Biden tried to get us out of Afghanistan, he had to funnel everything through one airport, which was almost impossible. It's one of the reasons why we left behind so much equipment. So Trump created this disaster, which he is now trying to gain political capital from. So here's where it gets even worse, is that when Trump and the camera crew and Fox News showed up at Arlington, a person from Arlington National Cemetery, one of the people who works there, tried to stop them, said, "I'm sorry, you can't do that here." And he apparently got punched out. He got roughed up by Trump's people. Now, we don't know if it was Trump's Secret Service people or if it was Trump's campaign people. The Trump campaign said, "Oh, we'll release the video," but they never did. And Arlington Cemetery actually released a statement. NPR has it over on their website. They said, quote, "Federal law prohibits political campaign or election-related activities with Army National Military Cemeteries to include photographers, content creators, or any other persons attending for purposes or in direct support of a partisan political candidate's campaign. Arlington National Cemetery reinforced and widely shared this law and its prohibition with all of the participants at Trump's little photo op." So Trump knew what he was doing was a crime and was disrespectful of our veterans. And yet he did it anyway. And Fox aired the footage anyway. They didn't care. These people claim to be great patriots, right? But they are essentially spitting on the graves. Disrespecting the graves of our fallen soldiers. It's incredible. All right, what's on your mind today? Michelle in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hey, Michelle, what's up?
Tom, could you...
Michelle, you just faded out. I can't hear you now.
Can you tell us why Louis DeJoy hasn't been fired yet?
Because the two nominees that Joe Biden has put forward for the board of Postal Board of Governors, which is the only body that has the authority to fire the Postmaster General, have not yet been approved by the United States Senate. And I think, and the problem is that when you appoint these people, you have to appoint one Democrat and one Republican, and they kind of cancel each other out, but not always. And the big problem was that Donald Trump appointed a couple of Democrats who were actually calling themselves Democrats when, in fact, they were essentially Republicans. They were gung-ho for Louis DeJoy's plan to privatize the post office. And they're still on the Postal Board of Governors. So because Trump put these ringers on, because there's supposed to be equal numbers of Democrats and Republicans on the board, and because Trump put these so-called Democrat ringers on there, you know, it's just been almost impossible to get the board to fire him. That's what's going on, Michelle. And the question, you know, to why haven't the new appointees been approved? That would be a question for Chuck Schumer. Regina in Chicago. Hey, Regina, what's on your mind today?
Hello?
Hi, Regina. You're on the air. Hello? Oh, she vanished. She must have accidentally pushed the hang-up button. That happens sometimes. You just call back. It may take a minute because the lines are kind of jammed. But Alan in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, Alan, what's on your mind today?
Hello, Tom. I've been struggling with a question for a couple of years. If you live in a democratic country, whether capitalistic or some form of socialism, how can this democracy progress without becoming an oligarchy? Changes may come, but oligarchs are not going to roll over and play dead. They're going to hold on to their wealth and power regardless of the consequences.
We took the oligarchy in the United States down a massive notch in the era between 1890 and 1932. And we did it with high levels of taxation and a state tax that was 70%. In today's dollars, you lost 70% of everything after $15 million. You had a top income tax rate of 91%. You had a top corporate tax rate of 50%. All of these things worked to prevent oligarchs from becoming oligarchs or prevent people from becoming oligarchs and to prevent oligarchs from involving themselves in politics. And then we did pass laws preventing money in politics starting in 1905. There were a whole bunch of state laws. There were also federal laws. Some of them got struck down in the 1920s by the Supreme Court. We came back with even more of them in 1974, 75, 76. I wrote a book about this called Unequal Protection. And then those laws got struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court, or by five Republicans on the U.S. Supreme Court, to be very clear, in 1976 with the Buckley versus Vallejo decision, which said that billionaires could buy politicians, in 1978 with the First National Bank of Boston versus Frank Bilotti decision, which said that corporations can buy politicians, and then in a big way with Citizens United and McCutcheon, which said that in 2013, money is the same thing as free speech, corporations are the same thing as people and as persons, and unlimited bribery is the name of the game. That's why we are in an oligarchic moment here, Alan. But we can reverse this simply by going back to what we did before. We need to break up the big monopolies. The Biden administration is looking at breaking up Google right now. They're talking about stopping the Albertsons-Kroger merger because it'll create a monopoly. They're looking at going after Amazon, which is going to be real interesting if that happens because, of course, the guy who owns Amazon also owns the Washington Post. It's going to get messy. But that's how you do it, Alan. Did I answer your question?
Well, I know that the oligarchs are going to fight back. We can't even enforce the Sherman antitrust laws now.
Yeah, that's why they're giving billions of dollars to Republicans. I just think though that it was the power of the people back in the 1930s, electing Franklin Roosevelt and gung ho behind him, and the power of the people in the 1890s that helped push through the Sherman Antitrust Act. This is powerful stuff. And I don't think that the Republicans and their oligarch funders are going to win. I really think that this is the fourth turning that Neil Howe had predicted. And I think that we're there. Alan, thanks for the call. Malcolm in Bluebell, Pennsylvania. Hey, Malcolm, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, ask Tom real quick just to correct you, not to pull your chops, but it was Evander Holyfield who
You're
had
right.
his ear bitten off
You're
by
right.
Iron
Sean,
Mike Tyson.
Sean Jeanette told Price. Me that during the break, and then Nate came out and told me that during the break, and I was going to mention it when I came back in, and I forgot.
But
thank you very much for that,
about,
Malcolm.
How is it that Rafael, a.k.a. Ted Cruz, who didn't get his citizenship until 2005 into the U.S., who shares Canadian citizenship and U.S. citizenship, how was he able to run in 2016 and it not be an issue?
Yeah, good question. Republicans only pay attention to the Constitution when they believe it works to their benefit, Malcolm. I mean, isn't that obvious?
Right. And unfortunately, Tom, facts no longer matter in our society.
Yeah.
After January 6th, for politicians to pop up and just say it looked like normal tourists, and a lot of society just, they bought it, they ate it up, and it was just, once again, if Kamala Harris did what Lauren Boebert did at that Beetlejuice premiere, she would easily, you would see it on the news every single night.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and Lauren Boebert might be struggling. We'll see. But, yeah, good point, Malcolm. Thank you very much. It's 45 minutes past the hour. I'll be back with more of your calls in just a moment. Stay with us. It's the Tom Hartman Program, the place where smart people get their news.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Your media support group will be right back with your calls right after this. Stay tuned. Sneaky alert! When you look at a dog food label and see wheat or rice, you might assume it's just a small part of the recipe, but it's not. A lot of popular dog foods use a trick called fractionation. For example, if you looked at a dog food label and saw wheat as the first ingredient, that might raise some red flags for you. Big dog food companies know this, so they split it up into different ingredients. So instead of a lot of wheat, which would push wheat to the top of the ingredient label, it gets listed as a little bit of wheat, a little wheat flour, a little wheat gluten. So it looks like wheat isn't the main ingredient, when in reality, your dog's food has enough wheat to bake a loaf of bread. And bread is not in your dog's natural diet. That's why I love Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend. It's the premium freeze-dried raw dog food Dog Whisperer Caesar Milan relies on to feed his pack. The first four ingredients are premium turkey, beef, salmon, and duck. Blue and Chewy love it. Save up to 54% off Nature's Blend and get a free bag of Cod Krispies. Just go to drmartypets.com/Tom or text Tom, T-H-O-M, to 511-511. All dogs are unique. A dog's results can and will vary. Text fees may apply.
News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. More than a month after the attempted assassination of former President Trump, there is still a lot the FBI says it doesn't know about gunman Thomas Crooks.
We have a clear idea of mindset, but we are not ready to make any conclusive statements regarding motive at this time.
And Kevin Rojek, the special agent in charge for the Bureau's Pittsburgh field office, says agents know this much. Crooks was obsessed with violence. Severe turbulence diverted a flight from Cancun to Chicago to Memphis. One person on board was hospitalized. The Supreme Court is keeping the SAVE program, President Biden's latest student loan relief program, on hold as lawsuits make their way through the lower courts. California lawmakers passed a bill that would make undocumented immigrants eligible for state assistance in buying a home. Smoke from the wildfires in Brazil's Amazon rainforest are draping over much of the country. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The U.S. Supreme Court has refused to revive President Joe Biden's latest student debt relief program. Under the plan, borrowers could pay back 5% of their income instead of 10. Lawsuits were filed after the plan was announced. The Supreme Court says some of those suits must be resolved in lower courts. and 15% of students in Wisconsin public schools get special education services. But school districts only get funding for 30% of expenses for their kids with disabilities. Teachers and administrators have long called this unfair. Deputy State School Superintendent Thomas McCarthy.
Reimbursing schools 30 cents on the dollar for an operation they're required to do is impactful in more ways than just serving kids with disabilities. In most districts, what they're doing is they're taking money out of their general budget and they're plowing it into special education budgets.
Work on the next state budget begins in the spring. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, Civic Media News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. It only makes sense that there would be no sequel to a movie called It Ends With Us. But it's a strong possibility as stars Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni appear to be feuding, according to Variety. The Insider Mag claims that inside sources say there is no way to salvage the relationship between the two actors. Complicating things is the fact that Baldoni directed the film and Lively produced the film. Baldoni owns the rights to both of Colleen Hoover's books, It Ends With Us and It Starts With Us. Seems like the first one should be the sequel. Am I the only person who likes the Kelce brothers but has also had enough of them? Thanks to Amazon, they are not going anywhere and are about to become a lot richer. According to Variety, Travis and Jason Kelce just signed a $100 million deal with Amazon's Wondery, which gives them exclusive rights to the brothers Kelce's New Heights podcast for the next 3 years. Meaning all that money they make playing football and that Travis will make doing buddy cop films is pretty much just walking around money. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. In the overnight, scattered clouds and light winds, temperatures dropping to the lower 60s at daybreak. On Thursday, we'll see a chance of showers and thunderstorms, especially in the afternoon. High temperatures warming to the mid-80s, some of those storms bringing some heavy rain. It's 72 at our studios.
The Todd Alma Show.
Co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson.
Trump is now pre-gaming for Republican elections boards at the county and state levels across this country to try to put their thumb on the scale for Trump. And if they don't win on that front, they may resort to violence again, which is why at the Lincoln Project, our goal is not to beat Trump. Our goal is to beat Trump like a rented mule. Our goal is to beat Trump so bad that his bruises have bruises.
The Todd Alma Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Fancy Brian Kelly is my guest co-host for the first hour, and then we're joined by Paul Noonan talking sports, weather, and wine with meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
When Trump was supposedly shot, not necessarily with a conspiracy, but I was kind of concerned about all of the discrepancies and the oddities. The first one was the question of one of his devoted rally attendees who outlined some discrepancies. And the first one was that Trump turned to the right to read the Jumbotron. And she said, and that was the first time he ever had a Jumbotron. That's never happened before. And he turned his whole head to the right and held it there, and then he started reading. Well, you know, I'm a mom. You know, things just sometimes don't sound right, you know. Then if Trump's ear was not hit and it was somebody else's blood, you don't think that Trump would have had a hissy fit? I mean, he is a germaphobe anyway, with somebody else's blood.
Yeah, but he would know the political value of that. And if he turned his head to the right, then how did his ear get shot when his ear was no longer facing the shooter? That's another argument that blood on the right side of his face, because it was smeared across the, it was smeared across the right side of his face, that blood had, was blood splatter from somebody else who had been shot, presumably the fireman.
Well, his head was turned to the right, And as it was turned to the right, that put his ear in direct line of fire to be missed by the sharpshooter, as it were. So it could easily have been missed intentionally, or, I mean, if you want to go with the other. But meanwhile, Trump's got blood on him, and we don't think that he's uncomfortable with it not being his own. So if it's his own, then what's up? And if it isn't his own, that's almost even worse. But the thing that I think we're not talking about here is that divine intervention is how the evangelicals saw.
I know. They're all saying that God saved Donald Trump so he could save America. It's crazy. Lori, thank you. Thank you for weighing in. I get it. Thank you. Rachel in Amherst, Massachusetts. Hey, Rachel, what's up?
Oh, hey. Long time. It's been a while. Hope you're well, Tom.
Well, thank you. Yeah, fine.
Actually, this is kind of your – this ties actually quite well into the othering comment you mentioned about your Substack. It's actually about watching Kamala's speech at the DNC. Particularly, I was quite troubled by a lot of the rhetoric around border and immigration and how well it seemed to be received by the crowds. We're told like the median Democratic voter is somehow now in favor of draconian asylum laws and immigration policy. And I remember when everyone was outraged about Trump putting kids in cages. So how have people really changed their mind that thoroughly?
Are you familiar with what's in the bill that Jim Langford wrote? I wouldn't characterize it as draconian. I mean, you know, it was adding 3,000 Border Patrol agents. It was bringing, I believe, 6,000 new judges in so that instead, or no, it was 1,000 new judges so that instead of a 6-year wait for an immigration or an asylum petition to be approved, it could be reduced down to 6 months. And you know, technology to try to stop smugglers, particularly people smugglers, but also drug smugglers all along the border. I mean, that's the essence of the bill. I don't see that as draconian. There was nothing in there about separating families. There was nothing in there about alligators and moats. There was nothing in there about shooting people in the legs. Those were all the things that Trump wanted.
But what about in terms of limiting asylum cases that are allowed through the system?
Well, I think you have to. I mean, you know, half the country of Venezuela would show up if you had unlimited asylum access to the United States.
Well, we're certainly a long way from unlimited at this rate, but you don't think that this is kind of a troubling trend in public sentiment, or even if...
I think we need to have a public debate about what number of people we want to let into this country every year. And I think that's a healthy thing, to have that debate. We have been averaging about 1 million people legally every year for decades. And we've been averaging between 1 and 2 million people illegally every year for the last couple of decades as well. And, you know, cleaning that up and saying, okay, we'll take 1.5 million or we'll take 2 million or we'll take 2.3 million or whatever legally, and we're going to try and get the illegal down to zero or something like that, does not seem unreasonable to me. Every other country in the world does this. I mean, try to sneak into Canada sometime. When Louise and I lived in Detroit, we had a van, and I had some furniture in the back of it. And we tried to go to Canada to have lunch at a restaurant in Windsor that we wanted to go to. They wouldn't let me cross the border because the furniture in the back, they thought we were trying to move to Canada. I mean, they are very, very strict. It's not unreasonable for a country to define who can come in and when and under what circumstances and by what numbers. I don't think that's unreasonable, Rachel. You know, I get your concern, and I think there was a certain amount of jingoism. And there certainly is on the Republican side. But hopefully this will lead to a rational discussion and comprehensive immigration legislation. Rachel, I got to run. Thank you for the call. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Right now, you can switch from cable television to satellite television for free. That's right. We're offering free equipment, free installation, plus get a free $100 prepaid Visa card. Call the satellite TV hotline right now. Make the switch from cable to satellite television and expand your viewing horizon. On top of free installation, for a limited time, we're offering a fixed price guarantee. With satellite TV, you'll save money over your expensive cable bill. Plus, get access to hundreds of channels. And when you call right now, you can also ask about our seniors and military discounts. So make the switch to satellite TV right now. Everybody gets free installation, free equipment, plus a $100 prepaid Visa card. Call right now and you can switch to satellite TV and be watching everything you wanted to within the next week. And remember, installation's free, so call right now. 800-942-1298. 800-942-1298. 800-942-1298. That's 800-942-1298.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Travel Wisconsin's Logan Rogie, and director Sean Hannish joins the show to talk about his documentary, Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.